Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. We just heard about that happening, right? Or really, it was back there when we started our service. We heard about everybody shouting these loud hosannas, and they're taking these palm branches out, and there was something about cloaks being laid on the road, or maybe that's one of the other gospel accounts, but it doesn't matter. There was a lot of pomp and a lot of circumstances. Jesus came into Jerusalem. And of course, the shouts, Hosanna, which means save us now. That was their cry to King Jesus. And in doing this, Jesus is recognized as the one who is promised, the one descended from David's line who would take David's throne forever. So these Jews, because they are Jews in Jerusalem, gathered for the Passover, they would have known quite well the prophecy from Zechariah that we heard in the Old Testament reading. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so it's no wonder the people were so excited, especially because it was the time of Passover. You remember the first Passover, right? There were 9 plagues in Egypt, and God promised that tomorrow, or really tonight, your enemies are going to be destroyed. The angel of death is going to pass over the nation of Egypt. And anyone who does not have the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts, their firstborn son will be killed. At that first Passover, God saved Israel from slavery and tyranny and oppression from the Egyptians, right? And so what's better? Well, the Messiah is here. The Christ has come, Hosanna, and now they're not dealing with oppression from Egypt, but rather oppression from the Roman Empire. And so maybe this is going to be the time. Maybe this guy is coming in on this particular Passover celebration to free us, to put our enemies to death. Now, we know they're misguided. That didn't happen. Right, Roman Empire still continued on for some time after that. But they believed Jesus was the Messiah nonetheless. But while all of these Jews are believing in this Christ figure, Jesus coming in, there are also these other people that we get kind of standing over on the sidelines. The unbelievers, right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, even the Roman government themselves are kind of standing there going, what is this all about? And they don't want Jesus to be the Messiah. They don't want Jesus to be the king. In fact, they're a little bit uneasy about all of this stuff that's happening as Jesus is welcomed into the city. Because if he does take the throne, if he does take a crown, well, that means destruction for the Roman Empire, or at least a rebellion at the very least. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and all Jesus' opponents, they've been literally opposing him every step of the way for the better part of the last 2 years. So what are they thinking? If he does take a throne, if he does take a crown, what will happen to me? They're terrified of Jesus being a king. Well, if we're honest with ourselves, so are we. At a certain point, we have all come into God's church today, you know, with shouts, maybe not of Hosanna. Have anybody said Hosanna today? I think it was in one of the hymns, right? But we sing Hosanna, right? We ask God to save us now. We recognize that he is the king of our lives. But at the same time, we don't really like that idea so much. Just like Jesus' opponents, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We know Jesus is coming again in power, and we can't help but wonder to ourselves that when he comes again, what is he going to do with sinners like me? Even before that, what can I expect from God in my own life? Will he see all of the wrongs that I have committed, and will he punish me for them right now? Can I really trust Jesus to do what is best for me? And of course, we know the right answer is that we can. But throughout our lives, we often live so much differently. Instead of letting Jesus be king, king over the whole universe, including our own lives, we try to make ourselves the king or the queen. Because we want to maintain control. We want to continue to have power and authority and wealth, and we want it on our terms. We also see how that turns out. Not well. In fact, we've already seen the repercussions of human beings trying to seize power and control for themselves. What do you think stealing is? It's someone trying to take control. What do you see when one person takes advantage of somebody else? Someone is trying to take control. Why is there violence and war and 3 more mass shootings that have just happened in the last 2 weeks? Because someone is trying to take control. There's fighting and quarreling amongst friends and family, and sometimes even within the church. Because someone is trying to take control. It's really easy for us to point the finger. It's right here. The person who's trying to take control is you. And it's me. And we could trace our way through every single sin that God has, or every single commandment, and see all of the sins that we have committed over and over again. And we can see how many man-made problems us sinners have actually created. And they all stem from one place. We lack trust in the Lord. We don't want Jesus to be king. We don't want humble Jesus riding on a donkey. Instead, we would rather worship me, myself, and I. And even if we're not the ones committing the sins, we see this pop up again. You know, when hard times come into our lives, or when things get out of control and we can't seem to get our lives back from the chaos that has entered into, well, what do we start to do? We start to worry, anxiety, or we despair, or we'll become impatient with God, and we'll go, God, if I was in your place, I would just get rid of this problem now. I know so much better. We do everything we can to try to maintain control. But that too is sin. Why can't we just for a moment just stop and recognize that Jesus is still king of the universe? Not just king of the church, not just king of what happens here on Sunday morning. He's king over all. He sees the chaos in the world. He sees the things that we can't control. And you know what? He's got it handled. Why can't we handle that? Why can't we just live and allow Jesus to be the ruler? Because we want to be king. But remember what the prophecy said about King Jesus. Zechariah said, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. You see what the king does? You see what he does for you? Do you see who is actually doing all of the ruling in this text? It's not you, and it's not me, but it's Jesus. He establishes a promise of forgiveness and freedom. He promises to be a stronghold. He promises to restore you. And instead of worry or despair or impatience, we're called to shout in triumph. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, because our King is still here. Jesus is still victorious. And he wins through humility. Again, that's not our way. When we want to win victory, we want to just utterly decimate the enemy, right? There's no coming back from what we did to that guy. But that's not what Jesus does. He comes into Jerusalem riding not on a horse, so that he can be head and shoulders taller than everybody else as he comes in and seen by all the world. No, he's stuck low in the middle of this crowd, riding on this short little donkey, a foal. He entered Jerusalem to do battle, though, not with an army at his command, but with the word of God and a small band of disciples. He would reign as king in Jerusalem, you know, the capital city of Israel. But his crown wouldn't be beset with jewels, but would be made out of thorns. No one would come to him and kneel to him and swear him fealty. But he would be beaten, and he would be abandoned, and he would be mocked as a false king. The throne he sits on is not made of gold, but it's made of wood, the wood of a cross. This all, it sounds like weakness. By all of the world's terms, by everything we know about a king, it sounds like weakness. But even as Jesus' blood is being poured out on the earth, and even as he gives up his spirit, he is still king. He is still in control. He still has power over all the earth, and more importantly, over all your sin. See, he doesn't die to give you wealth or prestige or honor or any of those things. He dies to give you a wealth of forgiveness. He dies so that he can rule over all of your pain and all of your suffering, and to give you a promise that it will come to an end. He doesn't take authority or wealth or power, but he becomes authority and wealth and power for all who believe. Righteous and having salvation is he. Jesus doesn't keep those things for himself. Righteousness, he has it, and he gives it to you. Salvation, he certainly has it, and he gives it to you. And as much as we might like to receive it in power or in some miraculous way, we know, even from Palm Sunday, that's not the way God operates. Jesus rides into his church, humble and mounted on words. Jesus comes into his church, humble and mounted on water. Jesus comes into his church, humble and mounted on bread and wine. And he does it to do battle. He does it to win victory. Not over Roman oppression, not over whatever the flavor of the day is for the world's problems, but over your sin. He does it to win victory for you and for eternal life. My friends, through good and bad, and even through sometimes things that we cannot control or understand, remember that Jesus is still king, and he is still king for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.